everybody. Welcome to the Football Fan Show. Matt here, joined as always by Carlos, the legend. You're right. How's he doing? You're right.
Hello there, Mac. How are you?
Yeah, good. And look, we had a sad situation this weekend that's just gone and the early part of the week. This man here, the legend, Marcelo Bielsa, has parted ways with Leeds United. So, look, it's tough. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, we can see the reasons why, just looking at the record there. It's been a tough time if you're a Leeds supporter or a Leeds player. And I want to get into it with you about the whole situation. So first of all, what's your initial thoughts about the Marcelo Bielsa decision to part ways? Do you think it's the right decision?
There are two very distinct sides to the arguments. And I think both sides can be considered to be right, and both sides can be considered to be wrong. Yeah. On the one hand, you've got to understand that Bielsa has done a wonderful job. He got Leeds promoted after so many years. Let's face it, with a bunch of players who were not really pulling up any trees.
No.
They were, you know, mid-table championship players. He turned them into Premier League players. He got them playing the most exciting football that has been seen in the Premier League for a long time. Mm. He made certain players internationals.
Like, yeah.
Calvin Phillips.
Yeah.
He improved Phillips so much that he's now an England international. Mm. So you've got to take all that into account. Now, the other side of the argument is when things aren't going right and when you're, let's face it, getting hammered so often, surely you've got to change something. Mm. And he seemed reluctant to do so, to the point where he was doing exactly the same with the same result, that Leeds were getting hammered. So it depends which side you think weighs more. Also, and I failed to mention this before, the number of injuries that Leeds have had. Perhaps with the right players, Bamford and Phillips, and some of the others who are missing, this same game plan would have got better results. But then again, you could also point to the coach and say, well, if you haven't got those players, don't play the same game plan.
Exactly.
That's why I was saying that you can argue the case in favor of Bielsa, and you can argue the case in favor of sacking Bielsa.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm very much in the Bielsa camp. I feel it's tough to see him go without having a proper send-off from the Premier League. Because we know, we've talked about it before, haven't we, with Bielsa, that chances are this will be his last time in the Premier League, or if within this team anyway. He would definitely, I think, would have left in the summer because we know where they're at. Leeds are not a top side, and they're probably going to stay maximum, unless they get an incredible turnaround, another year or so. If they stay up there, they may go down. But if they don't, they probably got another year or so, especially without the Bielsa factor. So I'm very much in the Bielsa camp. But I understand why he got sacked as well. I think, like you said, the situation was not changing, and they're way too close to dropping all the way into the mix. I think they jumped too early, though, the management, but I get why they did it. But I think I would have waited until probably the last, maybe 5 to 6 games. You never know, because people may have come back by then. But I get the owners, they get panicky. So look, it's tough to see. And it's funny, the last thing I was on that I was listening to one of the main podcasts about who deal with Leeds United, and they were sad to see him go. They would have loved to give him a send-off in the summer as well. And because, like I said, he transformed their team, took them back up to Premiership after decades. And, you know, they had no right to really be there, but they're there and they stayed up. And, you know, it's tough to see such a legend of football leaving that way. But it's a business. And looking at his record, we got, obviously, these are all the people who's managed. He did a long time as well. I think he did. It's the longest he's stayed anywhere, 2008 to 2022. Good record. Played 170, 180, draw 33 and 57. So he leaves with a winning record. Not the best winning record he's ever had, but it's definitely a good solid finish, isn't it?
Yes, you have to remember that three seasons, I believe, were in the Championship. So yeah, winning exactly, matches yeah. was easier than in the Premier League. I'm not saying it was easy. I'm just saying it's easier than in the Premier League. But his first season in the Premier League was very good. Yeah. He took everyone by surprise as well.
Yeah.
And the supporters love him for that.
Yeah.
So to see him go out like this is very sad. And to tell you the truth, I don't think they would have got relegated. I don't think.
No, no. I think the teams, if we look, let's go before we talk about the new manager. If we look at the teams in and around the situation, like you said, the players looked exhausted. They were getting hammered. But realistically, and I get, you know, look, 2 points above. The teams that are down, the Norwich, they had a little bit of a spurt, but they've reverted back to type. They're definitely not going anywhere anytime soon. Watford, it will struggle, really, to fight their way out of it now. These guys under 20 points, I just can't see it. Even Roy Hodgson, we know what Roy Hodgson's all about, defence, but realistically, it's going to be tough with the players he's got, right? Because otherwise, they wouldn't be there. Burnley are the only team where there may be some movement, because like we've talked about, as you've always talked about, you've kept the faith that Burnley will stay up. But look, with that, there needs to be someone to fill their spot. Everton, we know, they're going to turn a corner. They've been had a bit of hard luck last week. But overall, we're confident they're going to stay up. So that leaves, really, and Newcastle have obviously shown their mettle, and they bought the players, and they proved it. So that leaves Leeds and Brentford. Brentford obviously is a Championship side, let's be quite honest, who had a great first season. But overall, they're probably in the mix. And then there's Leeds as well, obviously in the mix as well, because both teams have not had a win for some time. So I get it as well, but the chances, more likely you'd see Brentford go down rather than Leeds, wouldn't you? Under the circumstances that both teams are at the moment, especially if Leeds playing one more game. Brentford playing one more game. Apologies.
I've been saying Brentford are going to go down even when they were something like 12 points clear.
You did.
Because I've been saying that they were the type of team that could lose 10 consecutive matches. And guess what? They've done that. Well, yeah. they got a draw in between a win against Aston Villa. Yeah. But if you look at the last 15 matches, I think it's probably something like 13 defeats or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that's going to improve. They'll get the odd win between now and the end of the season. But you see, they were so close in the first half of the season to getting the magical, well, they say 40, but normally between 35, 36, 37 points seems to be enough. But I think they're going to struggle to win each point that may come their way. They are in trouble. And I can't see Everton, Burnley or Leeds getting less points than Brentford in the number of games that are left.
Yeah. And as you said, look, if you look at the situation that everyone's in, it's quite apparent that Brentford are in the weakest position. They've played 27 games, so they've only got 11 games left to pull themselves out of it. Leeds obviously got one extra game, 12, but Everton and Burnley have only played 24 games. So it doesn't show a true picture of both of their positions. Everton are more than likely to win a few games, draw a few games. And we know what Burnley's about. I mean, they embarrassed Tottenham and they have had two wins. Out of all of those teams from Brentford down, they've had the most wins. So we know, as you said, Burnley are in the strongest position by far. So, yeah, you were right again, Carlos.
And you know that Brentford are playing Norwich and Burnley very soon.
Oh, fantastic.
So that is going to be the telling moment. If they fail to win either of those matches, those two matches, I'm sure they'll go down. And Norwich have improved. They gave Liverpool a run for their money the other day at Anfield.
Yeah, yeah, they have. They have. It's going to be difficult for them, that 17 points. But let's see what happens. Right, so let's talk about this guy, Jesse Marsh. Now, I've never even heard of the guy, and I don't know if you had as well. I had to look him up, and here he is in all his glory, American. And we know what happened, unfortunately, to the last American that came here to the UK. And he's had a varied impact wherever he goes. He's actually managed Montreal Impact, New York Red Bulls, Red Bull Salzburg, and then we get into the real nitty-gritty here, RB Leipzig. He managed from July to December of the same year, and we know that they're a very decent side. He replaced Julian Nagelsmann, and now he's here. Now, first things first, I'm interested to know what your thoughts are, because my thoughts are that maybe this guy has come about because the 49ers, San Francisco 49ers are a big stakeholder now. So I don't know if they wanted an American face. And I don't know. It just seems I don't know what the connection is. What's your thoughts on this whole situation?
It's a strange appointment, I think. Obviously, he is part of the Red Bull setup. Mm. He's coached three of the clubs that are part of the group.
Yeah.
And he did well at Salzburg. Didn't really have much time at Leipzig. Mm. But they are a good team. But was he hired because of his ability or simply because he was part of the setup?
Yeah.
Red Bull does tend to promote their own people within the group of football teams.
Yeah.
But I really can't see, in a situation like this, where Leeds are in the position they are, that they need, obviously, to get points and to finish the season strongly to avoid relegation. Do you want someone who is practically a novice? He's been coaching for a few years, but his credentials are not top class.
No. I mean, he's only played in America, as you can see, as a player, DC United, Chicago Fire. He didn't win anything particularly. I don't exactly know what this US Open Cup is, but I assume the MLS Cup is in '90s, and the '90s he won it is the obviously what they win when they win the whole thing. But the '90s, as we know, pretty much had people who were second rate or retired players from Europe playing in there. It's only in recent, the last 5 to 10 years, where it's actually become relatively decent. So he hasn't really been a massive player. And like you said, he's been part of the Red Bull setup. So what impact do you think he can make? I mean, I don't even know what style he plays. He said that he played the same style as Bielsa, apparently. That's what he says.
What we know from Salzburg and Leipzig is that they did play with him attacking football. I guess that's what he means. They play the ball wide. They like to attack from wide positions with speed. There's a lot of movement of the players off the ball. So I guess that's what he is getting at when he says that he plays a Bielsa-style football. But I just hope the defense tightens up because that's the main thing now. Because Leeds can score goals. We know that.
Yeah.
Although they've not been scoring as many since Bamford has been injured. But what I'm wondering is, if you get rid of Bielsa because this attacking style is making you lose and lose by wide margins, then would you not want to bring a slightly more conservative manager just to get you over the line?
Yeah.
And then maybe consider changing the style again in the summer?
Exactly. I mean, if you're going to do this kind
of... If you're going to play Bielsa style, do it with Bielsa.
Yeah, it makes so much sense, and you couldn't have put it better. The fact of the matter is that this guy has come out and said it straight in his first interview. I play like Bielsa, which is perplexing. Surely you bring in someone, like he said, who played defensive football. Someone actually, funnily enough, who would have been a good fit would have been someone like Roy Hodgson. You know, someone who just comes in, solidifies things at the back, and then obviously just let the front men just do their business, which they always do. They're always good on the attack, and they know where to put the ball in the back of the net, and not just one player, several of them. It'd be interesting to see what this guy does, how he does it. We think, obviously, that he will, well, I don't know about save Leeds, but Leeds will probably survive the situation. But under the circumstances, even though we've talked about Leeds staying up, he might bring them down, right? It's a possibility, isn't it?
Of course, there is a possibility. Thank God for Brentford. From Leeds' point of view, I really don't know. I'm a bit baffled by this signing. And as you know, some of the people at Leeds are friends of mine, and I haven't spoken to them. I haven't spoken to them yet, but I believe that probably the decision, maybe the choice, maybe came from elsewhere within the club. They were the people who chose Bielsa to begin with, and it turned out to be a very good choice. And I do think that perhaps now, as you say, a different style of manager would have been suitable for Leeds, because you don't want to overexpose yourself. You don't want to be leaving gaping holes at the back when you're fighting off relegation. And if he plays Bielsa style, then, as I said, you might as well have kept Bielsa, because, you know, it's his style. So he will do it better than anyone else. I think Leeds right now needs someone to tighten up the defence. And it's the same old story. If you try to tighten up the defence, you have to sacrifice a bit in attack. And if you concentrate on attack, you always expose yourself slightly too much in defence. There's nothing you can do. There's only so much you can do to cover, you know, the front and the back, and you can't do both. If anyone was able to ever do both brilliantly, then obviously they would win everything.
Yeah.
But you see teams like Manchester City sometimes are exposed at the back because they're vulnerable to counterattacks, because they play with so many players in the opposing half. They try to keep the ball. Then when you lose it, you know, they're out of position defensively. And that's what happens. And that's why I'm saying that maybe Leeds right now needed someone to shore up the defence.
Yeah, no, I agree. And look, it's the end of an era, really, in British football, in English football, in the Premier League, for the you know, the skills and the kind of entertainment factor that Bielsa brought. And it's just a shame that it had to come to an end now. Would have, like I said, been appropriate for it to come to an end in the summer. You'd want him to have kind of like a Wenger send-off. I know he wasn't there anywhere near as long as Wenger, but, you know, the kind of Wenger send-off where, you know, this is his final game and everyone can really celebrate his final game with a nice walk around, stuff like that. Obviously, I say I hope it's not the last time we see Bielsa in England, but more than likely it is. But hopefully, you know, things could change. But it's going to be interesting, the dynamic with this American coach as well. Because it's funny, because I was listening and they were saying that Bielsa, obviously he had his interpreter, was just as much a celebrity as he was. He was always there. And apparently he always used to come in. He was so good. Everyone loved him because he would come in to the players' locker room, changing room before Bielsa walked in, and he would tell them what kind of mood he was in. So he knew exactly what was coming. If they were going to get, you know, all guns blazing, or he was going to come in a happy mood or whatever. So they already knew the mood of the manager, which is brilliant. It's a lovely little touch there. And all that will go, I suppose. But look, you know, like we said, football is a business, and no matter how sentimental we are about this legend, you know, things will move on. So any final thoughts on this?
Yes, that it's a terrible shame that we have lost in England the one truly different manager
that yeah.
you have anywhere, probably. His style of play is so particular to him, and no one else has been able to replicate what he does. So it's a great loss, and it's a great loss for football supporters, football lovers, because watching a Bielsa team is a pleasure. And I do think that perhaps Leeds will find themselves in slightly more trouble without him than with him. And I do think they'll avoid relegation. I don't think they'll go down. But I don't think they would have gone down with Bielsa.
No. And it feels to me as well, this is the final thing to add on this, that it's a bit of a pot situation. I remember Tottenham, where they sacked him because of a bad run. Obviously, they never went down or anything like that. But and then they've tried to scrape him back and scratch back for him and fight back for him. But it's not going to happen. But it feels like that kind of scenario where they've got rid of the manager, but they'll find that they'll actually be desperate for him to come back. And obviously, he won't. I would have thought he's, I mean, well, you tell me. I think he's going to pop up in Spain more likely. What do you think?
I don't know. To be honest, I think there are a few clubs that are willing to risk signing Bielsa. He hasn't really been chased by too many Spanish clubs. If I'm not mistaken, he's only coached twice here. Athletic Bilbao and Espanyol.
Yeah.
He's been in France a couple of times.
Yeah.
Argentina, obviously. He was with Chile, the national team, for quite a long time. He was with Argentina. Yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised if he decided to take a long break, or even if he retired. I wouldn't be surprised.
Interesting. It'd be interesting to see what happens, or maybe go for a country. But like I said, it'd be good to see him in club football again. That'd be nice. But look, it depends. We obviously don't know his mood and how he feels about everything. So we'll find out, I'm sure, soon enough. But look, it's goodbye to a legend. It's been a pleasure in the English Premier League. You excited it, and we'll obviously miss his Midas touch. So, and I'll always remember that time they beat Man City. It was incredible last season. It was lovely.
There were some magical moments of brilliant attacking football. Both matches with Manchester United, was it 6-3?
Yeah.
Something like that. But you see, it's the goals against column that has sentenced him to this dismissal.
Yeah, so conceding is definitely unfortunate. But yes, he stuck to his style, and no one can ever say he didn't stick to his philosophy either. So look, we'd love to hear your thoughts about Marcelo Bielsa. I'm sure majority of them are positive. Let us know your thoughts about your memories of Bielsa and what you think about him, obviously, parting ways. Will we see him back in England or in Spain or retire or maybe do a country? Well, hopefully, whatever it is, he comes back into management very, very quickly. So thanks, Carlos, for your thoughts, and it's been a pleasure as always.
Thank you very much. Pleasure's mine.
Thank you. And look, don't forget to like and subscribe. And thank you for watching the Football Fan Show.